That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the utopia that until now, scholars and commoners alike thought impossible.
Ah.
But we have made possible.
Thomas More couldn't have imagined this.
No, he could not.
Hello, Gilbert Fan Club. How are we doing?
Gilbert. Go to the next viewing area.
Our sweet little frog friend.
Our sweet little frog friend, yeah.
We haven't seen him again.
No, because you, like, terrorized him.
Since that fateful night. But I'm sure he's doing great. I'm sure he's thriving and living his best life.
I think you gave him an aneurysm.
Probably.
Yeah.
My high five was very intimidating. My high finger, I should say.
When I said, hey, don't scare him, and you said, I'm not scaring him, I'm giving him a high five, and then he...
And then he launched himself.
Immediately was scared away. If you don't know what we're talking about, that's your fault, yeah. And...
You clearly need to follow us on TikTok, that's all I'm saying.
That's even more of a hint than I would have given. I would have just said, do better, be better.
Well, yes, obviously.
Get better soon.
I will say, that was completely authentic. That was one of the craziest moments I've ever shared with Rachel.
Never has something that is authentic seemed less authentic.
Yes.
Than when you said, that was completely authentic.
Well, okay,
but it was, and Maddie, I've said it before that night, and I'll say it again, I don't know what came over you, but it was some of your best commentary work I've ever seen in any situation.
I didn't even drink.
That's not true.
Did I? Oh, I did drink. We were at.
But
that
you
was,
had two like but small was, cocktails.
Like yeah,
it while was like you were a, eating over the course of a couple hours, that was it. Was it not was, like
it basically. It did not feel as if I had a single drink. Let's put it that way. So
I feel like it was at that point. It was the equivalent of having like a couple sips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So Gilbert. He's just a gem. He's a one of a kind chap. And it's a sad day that I haven't seen Gilbert again. I felt like I was a little bit of a fangirl, and he hated me for
you
it.
You have no one to blame but yourself.
I really don't. It was my fault. So while I may be here apologizing for my horrendous, or I guess scarring of Gilbert, I would also like to apologize on Rachel's behalf. Because we need to do 8-second apologies, and Rachel, yes, there are things we must apologize for.
Like animal abuse.
So, I would like to apologize for Rachel basically telling us a 30-minute story about flaming rocks.
Yeah.
I would also like to apologize for Rachel harassing me for being too nice. And I would also like to apologize for Rachel lasting the entire episode without ever referencing Sean Kingston's smash hit, Fire Burning.
Oh.
I kept waiting for it to come up. Because that, let me tell you,
okay.
That's a freaking bop. She's speechless because
Maddie,
I got her there.
Maddie, you're going to make me cry? That was the first ever valid apology of something I
Hold
did
on.
Wrong.
Hold on. This episode is going to go down in history solely because Rachel has finally admitted that she must apologize for something. I've left her speechless.
How did I miss this?
So, yes, I am very sorry that Rachel let you down. Guys, she's tearing up. It's okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
I'm not good with people when they're crying. I don't know what to do. I usually just kind of do like a little, you know, this thing from SNL.
Well, here's the thing. I can cry on command. But here's the other thing. I can't stop crying on command.
Yikes. This is going to be a sad episode.
So, well, I mean, it's not actually crying. I can just force tears out of my eyes. So.
That's somewhat concerning.
Why?
I don't know. Now I don't know if you're really authentic.
I'm not. Ever. Okay.
Well, although honesty is the best policy,
there are currently tears coming out of my eyes and I can't stop them, but.
I'll give you a minute.
Thank you.
The power of Sean Kingston.
In the meantime, Maddie, how are you doing?
I am great. I am so good. Shawty's fire burning on the dance floor. Whoa.
Don't do that to me. I have betrayed music as a whole.
Culture. Humanity.
As a whole. This feels God. Like, this feels like a war crime.
It's a bit in, I mean, honestly, this is one of your most egregious crimes in all of Hyperfocus history.
Not only, I didn't violate the Treaty of Paris, but maybe the Geneva Convention.
Yikes, yes. That's the new rule, yeah. The Geneva Convention. If you don't make an accurate song reference.
For every episode.
In every episode, if there's not at least one appropriate song reference, put it in the jar.
I hope you're ready to live up to that in this episode.
Oh, I am.
But I'm glad you're doing well.
Thanks. So, do you want to know where we're going today?
Every time I ask you how you're doing, and you never ask me how I'm doing when I have something I want to say.
Okay, Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Actually, no, how are you doing?
What?
How are you doing?
I'm good. Why'd you ask it twice?
Because I just thought you were going to bring up a new special someone in your life.
Don't make it sound like I'm getting married.
She's not. We don't believe in matrimony. Kidding, do what you want, it's your life. But Raquel,
yeah,
is it time to introduce your friend?
She's asleep. I think I was gonna show her on the video, but
maybe
I,
by the end of this she'll be ready.
If she wakes up, but she might not. It's okay, that's probably better if she doesn't,
to be fair. Yes,
but I got a puppy and I love her, and she's like kind of just beyond the camera, so if it looks like I'm trying to look at the camera,
she's not looking at you.
I'm looking at my little sleeping puppy.
She's so cute, guys. It's so nice to have two puppies in the house. I'm not kidding.
I can't believe they get along.
I can't either. They're
neither of these dogs get along with anyone.
These dogs hate other people, other dogs, other like inanimate objects.
My dog, I just got her less than a week ago. She's a rescue and she's terrified of everything currently, mm-hmm. except for me and Maddie and Maddie's dog.
Which is ironic because my dog is
hates every dog and every dog hates him.
He's not exactly like warm and fuzzy and like
no.
Like he doesn't give you good vibes. He gives you like mm-mm. you hate me and slightly want to kill me vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're best friends.
Yeah.
Borderline bonded pair. Which could become a problem.
Yes.
But we will cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. But anyway, so
that's Maisie.
So we will be seeing Maisie potentially tonight, today, this morning,
or as I like to call her, the marvelous Mrs. Maisie. Maybe I'll start calling her Midge. We'll see.
That's a cute one. A new name in the name pool.
Oh, it took me so long to settle on Maisie.
We've been going back and forth for a few days.
So long. But Midge can be a nickname for Maisie.
Yes, it can. I think so.
You know, like Midge is a nickname for Miriam on the show, but whatever.
I love it.
Everyone watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's one of the best shows ever. Anyway, maybe you have a good story for us too.
Oh, I do.
Okay. Well, let's see. And I'm excited to hear your song reference.
I'm going to start this off with my song reference.
Oh.
We are going.
Oh, did you already have this prepared and this was all part of your plan?
Oh, it so was.
So you knew you were prepared and you wouldn't have to put a dollar in and it was something you would miss.
I knew this. We're going back to the USSR. Just kidding, because we're going back to Russia. We're actually going farther than that because we're going
We do a lot of stuff in Russia.
I know, it just happens.
we're just that general vicinity.
Right, we're going back to the Rus people of Kiev. The Rus, I guess, is tech. I mean, you can either way.
I don't know.
Rus, potato, potato.
I feel like you should know this.
Everybody pronounces it differently.
Okay, sure, sure.
So the Rus people eventually become Russia. You know, you get it.
Okay.
So we're actually telling the tale of Saint Olga, of Kiev, who is like the most unsaintly saint.
Can I just say how much I love the name Olga? I love it so much. And there's also going to be a really weird sound because my teeth like chattered in that sentence.
So we're going to have some other fun names, to be honest.
But... Olga!
So, like with every story that I give you guys, we're going to give a little context because I wouldn't be true to me without some context. So,
yeah,
the Rus of Kiev are an ancient medieval people. They're living in modern day Russia, Belarus, Ukraine. They're said to originate and come from Nordic Vikings. And this is, we know this because of the Russian Primary Chronicle, also known as the Tale of Bygone Years, which I like that name better personally. So the Tale of Bygone Years, aka Primary Chronicle, is where we get most of our history on the Rus people. I'm going to say this like seven different ways this whole episode. The problem with chronicles, and there's like several chronicles in the medieval period, is even though they're like specific storytellings of people and time periods, they're usually completely saturated and biased. And like,
okay,
usually the, you know, that whole idea of like history is written by the winners.
Yeah,
it's that concept.
Yeah.
So some people completely disregard this and think that the Rus people aren't related to the Vikings at all. Whatever. That's not important. But just know that the point of this is some of these stories are wrapped in legend and myth and mystery.
Of course.
So the Rus people were around between roughly 860 to 1242 CE.
Okay.
After decades of unrest, changes in leadership, we get our man Igor.
There's always an Igor.
There is an Igor.
And
he takes the
Igor.
Throne.
Yeah, he
in
does.
912.
Good for him.
He is the son of the first Rus king, Rurik.
What is it?
Rurik.
Rurik.
R-U-R-I-K.
Love it.
Rurik.
Hey, Maisie. It's time for a name change.
I love it.
Another one.
I think it's great. So Igor is technically king number three or whatever, ruler number three, because in the middle is like this relative named Oleg.
Even better.
Oleg. So we have Rurik, Oleg, and Igor.
Today is love.
Today is love. Oleg raised Igor, kind of taught him his ways. He was actually relatively successful in like gaining peace, expanding territory, whatever. So Igor takes the throne and he and his wife Olga are just ready for this peaceful...
Ooh, okay, so they're married.
Yes.
They're married. Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
Igor married to Olga.
They're fair ready. Fair warning, because you may have already said that. I may have just missed it, but just fair warning that I am out of my ADHD meds, so I may be asking seriously repetitive questions.
So this will be a good test for you guys to make sure you're paying attention.
Yeah.
They are just ready for their simple, peaceful, long life together.
Hmm.
Or so they thought.
I thought
because that's not what happened.
I have a question already.
Yes.
You said you were starting with your music reference.
Yeah, back in the USSR. We're going back to the USSR.
Oh, yep. You did say that.
I'm sure I'll bring in more, but that's a good one to start
off
with.
I was just like, yeah, we are. We're back in Russia.
Whoosh, completely over her head.
I blame the lack of amphetamines.
I think that that's a fair thing to blame. I'm just going to be honest here.
Okay.
So common practice in this time period is called like tribute, paying tribute.
Okay.
So conquering peoples, tribes, would often go to the places they conquered and request tribute, which could be like money, slaves, food, whatever. So
I could get down.
It's kind of a cool idea.
Conquering
maybe.
Stuff and then being like,
give me more of
food.
Give me this your McDonald's cheeseburger.
This feels like just a really old version of like going on dates just to get free food.
Oh, babe. There's lots of going on dates to get free food.
Oh.
So.
See where this is going.
It might not be that kind of scandy, but it's crazy.
I wasn't saying that.
Okay. So Oleg, right, starts this practice
King.
With Literally. The, yeah, starts this practice during his reign, and then Igor takes over, wants to kind of keep up the same practice. So we don't really know much about what happens from like 912 to 941.
Oh, okay.
Because the chronicle is just kind of like, not important, whatever.
Sure.
Because they can do that. So 941 is really where we're going to start having some fun.
Let's do it. Let's have some fun in 1941.
941. Yes. I did write that several times in my notes, like habitually just being like 1941, because I'm not often typing about things that happened in the
941.
10th century. Mm-hmm. But here we are. So 941, Oleg previously had created this peace treaty with the Byzantines.
Okay.
They're not quite the full-fledged empire that we'll learn about later. Or maybe you will learn about later. I'm not teaching you that. Jesus, I sounded like a teacher there. But Igor is getting a little like sketched out by the peace treaty. He's a little sus and he decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go invade the Byzantines and just take them over.
Why didn't he like the peace treaty? Just because he wanted more?
There was other like conflicts going on that he was like sus like, about.
I'm
and
not
he
sure
thought
if this is
going
to be.
They might go team up there.
Gotcha. So he this was like
this
a,
was like a preventative.
That's measure. Exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
So he just thought it wasn't for him. Okay. So 941, he attacks and he wants to take over Constantinople, which is the capital of the Byzantines.
That could have been a song reference too.
Yes, Istanbul, Constantinople. I'm so good at the song references.
No.
Anyways, so I'm gonna forget. To spare you the boring details, it is a miserable failure. He's actually regarded as one of the worst military leaders in history because it's so awful. He does it. I think he tries to invade like three separate times and gets like wiped out all three times.
Love it.
Pointless war. They just reinstate the peace treaty. Igor, though, is like, well, I'm at least going to get my tribute from this tribe.
But he didn't actually conquer them?
Mm-mm. They just reignited the peace treaty. Well, there's a tribe like on the edge of the Byzantines. Okay, so let's imagine you're going through this tribal area. You're going to attack Byzantines. Everybody's pissed off at you because they know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're like, bro, come on. So you establish peace treaty. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to my other tribes and still get my tribute because like I just blew it on a war. So he goes to one of the tribes, the Drevlians. Drevlians, which sounds like a Star Trek tribe.
He has not conquered this tribe, but he's like, you still owe me stuff.
Well, he technically conquered this tribe, but so like the Byzantine War is just more like background to know that he sucks and he's awful and kind of gained a reputation for being like.
Oh, okay. So these are two separate events.
Correct.
Okay.
Let me clarify that. These are two separate events.
Sorry,
guys. Sometimes I get really excited.
Two separate
Byzantine failure events. Ends Byzantine War and reignites peace treaty. Uh-huh. He then goes to the Drevlians.
Yep. I'm with you now.
And is like, give me my tribute. Oh, wait, but also give me more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we know anything from history, people usually don't like being wrongfully forced to give more than is expected. So he was being a little greedy pants, and so they murdered him.
Well, sometimes that's what happens when you're being a little greedy pants.
When you're being greedy pants. So they decided to tie his body in between two like bent trees, like they were bent downwards. And then they let the trees go and his body was literally torn in two. Yes. Yes. I'm not kidding. There's like medieval depictions of this. Now, of course, again, we get all this information from the Chronicle. So, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt always. But yes.
What?
The Drevlians said, I've got it. We're going to bend trees so that they, when they snap back, we're going to snap him in half.
Those must have been some strong trees though, bro.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what tree were they able to bend long enough to like, I mean, like how many people were involved in this endeavor? And meanwhile, Igor's like, no, guys, it's fine. It's fine. Just don't worry about it. Forget I asked for anything else. Please, no, just don't. I take it back.
Yeah, I'll delete the Venmo request.
Here's the, yeah, exactly. No, it's fine. You don't have to Venmo me. It's fine. It's on me.
That's.
So Igor's dead.
Wow. I can't
Split
wait to
in
do
half.
An episode on medieval torture methods, though.
Yeah.
It reminded me. Although I don't know that I'll be able to do that in one succinct episode. We might have to make that a
series
of mini-sodes.
I mean, there were
lots
of complicated, complex tactics.
Oh, yeah.
So Olga, this is where.
Olga.
We bring Olga.
She's back.
Saint Olga, who is not currently a saint.
Oh.
She's just Olga right now. So, Olga. Slightly pissed off, some might say.
Why?
Her husband just got split in half by two trees.
But why is she mad?
I think she kind of liked him.
Oh, okay.
I think she was kind of happy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little upset that her husband got brutally murdered.
Yeah, I guess.
So, her son, not old enough to be ruler on her own, so she becomes a regent. Women as regents usually are pretty tough cookies, so this is going to get interesting. So she decides that her reign as regent will be devoted to enacting vengeance on the Drevlians.
Oh, okay.
So many people assumed she would just be a normal noblewoman looking to remarry. Most likely, for some reason, they all thought she was going to marry Prince Mal of the Drevlians, which is like, yes.
Oh.
Did we think that she was going to marry the prince of the people who murdered her husband?
To be fair, he did wrong them first.
Right. So again,
it could have been like, things are even now.
Right. It was an obvious choice because there was also some sort of like power dynamic that was like, you know, could be an advantageous marriage. So Olga was not keen on this idea. Mm. Not a big fan of marrying the murderer of her husband.
Yeah.
So anyways, Olga is now regent.
And now would you like to explain what a regent is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A regent. A regent is essentially like a placeholder mm-hmm. for the king and or queen. Most likely king. Sorry. Just deal with it. It's history.
Yeah.
Trust me, I hate it too. But who would rule on behalf of like the king or some, you know, heir to the throne until they're at certain age where they can actually rule. Like a lot of times, there's so many times in history where you'd have like a 12-year-old baby or something. And it's like, you cannot be the king. So sometimes it would be like different bishops or like you could have cardinals or other noblemen. But a lot of times it would be the moms. Catherine de Medici is one of my favorite regents ever. She was regent in France. She's pretty cool. But anyways, so Olga's regent. She's basically ruling on behalf of her son while we wait for son to be old enough. So this power somewhat goes to her head in the Surprise. Best of ways.
Oh, okay, okay.
So the Drevlians send representatives to Kiev to basically negotiate a marriage alliance. Naturally, they're like, come on, you want to marry Prince Mal? Olga says, you know what? I would really like you just go wait in your boats. Let me sleep on it.
Oh, no.
And then I'll get back to you in the morning. And I'm like, great. Sounds great. Okay, take your time.
What does she do?
So while they're asleep in their boats.
Did she light them on fire?
Oh, just wait.
Okay.
Olga commands her, you know, servants or whatever to dig a trench.
Okay.
And then puts the people in the boat in the trench. Like she has the boat moved
into
the trench. Covers it up and buries them alive.
How? That must have been just like a really deep trench.
Yeah.
Or small boats. Or both.
Probably both.
And then, but it's deep enough that they can't climb up the sides.
I mean, they're probably just like, I don't think that, I mean, to get to Kiev, I think you just go through like the Caspian Sea. I don't think that it's like that big of like a, they're not taking a cruise ship.
Right.
It's probably like some sort of like small river boat.
Right.
Like Viking river cruise-esque. Maybe.
Still, you have to dig a deep enough trench that if
yes.
when they wake up, let's when put it this way,
it was alive. It was a dig trench.
I love a dig trench.
It was a big trench.
Yeah.
Buries them alive. So
sure. Yep.
Yep. But
yep.
This
yep.
news.
That's how you deal with
this,
unwanted
right.
attention.
This news is not delivered back to the Drevlians yet, and Prince Mal didn't know. So Olga sends word to Mal and says, listen, the only way I'm going to marry you is if you send me this like fancy caravan of wise men and like extravagant gifts and parades to escort me from Kiev to the Drevlian capital or whatever. So Mal's like, dude, yes, I'm getting a sexy new bride. Heck to the yeah. We're getting a bigger kingdom. We're taking the Rus. Let's freaking do this.
Let's do this.
This caravan travels to Kiev. And Olga invites them, come in, relax, wash up, go take a bath, go clean up, let's get ready for dinner. So they all skedaddle on into the bathhouse. She locks them in and lights them on fire.
So
and they
I just,
are all
I guessed,
burned alive.
I just guessed the lighting them on fire a little too soon.
Right, that's the second part. So currently, scoreboard update for those of you not keeping track, Olga 2, Drevlians 0.
My goodness.
So at this point, nearly all of like Drevlian high class noble people have been murdered. But yep. The Drevlians do not know this. They just think they're over there with Olga.
Because she's down with the Drevlians.
Right.
She's just chilling with them because we keep sending her people and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So Olga sends more correspondence and says, I'm coming to the Drevlian capital of Iskorostan. This is where her husband was murdered. This is literally the town where her husband was murdered.
Ooh. And she's doing what
there? She's just going there to have a feast.
Okay.
So she wants to have a funeral. I was adjusting my mic. She wants to have a funeral feast to say goodbye to her husband. So that way she can move on to her next marriage. So she's like, guys, I'm coming. Let's get this feast ready. So the Drevlians are like, dude, let's freaking celebrate. Like, this is amazing. So they have this feast.
I'm sorry, that one's on them.
The Drevlians.
They should have seen this coming.
Specifically, the Drevlian soldiers get a little too rowdy.
Mm.
And Olga has her army slay about 5,000 drunken Drevlians.
5,000?
5,000. So Olga, 3.
Maddie hates me.
Drevlians, 0.
Yep.
Then to just round it all out, she decides we're going to lay siege to the city.
Sure.
Burn it to basically ashes.
Yeah.
And then no more Drevlians, really. So there's that for revenge. So scoreboard, Olga 4, Drevlians, so they're just like zilch. So they're just kind of like gone.
Great.
So.
The way we deal with conflict as humans. Summed up right here.
So basically desecrated the Drevlians, enacted one of the most badass multi-step revenge plots in history.
I mean, I love it. I love it. But by the end, I'm like, this seems excessive.
Only then to become a saint in not one, but two churches.
How did she become a saint?
Let me tell you. So how did she become a saint? That's literally a prompt in my notes. She is literally a saint in the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. Like, pretty nuts. So she goes to Constantinople later on in life. She meets Emperor Constantine VII.
What's up?
What up, homie? He falls madly in love with her.
Of course. Why does everyone fall in love with her?
It's Olga.
Is it the confidence? Is it the name? Is she gorgeous?
I think it's all of the above. I saw pictures of her, and I know that they're medieval art, but, like, she's kind of hot.
I can't wait to see hot medieval art. I'm so excited.
I don't even know, like, what would be the baseline for that, but oh well. Maybe it is Olga.
The baseline is whatever my judgment of it is.
So she was not very into Constantine, but she was a big fan of JC. So... For those of you who do not know who JC is, that is Jesus Christ. So she...
Sorry.
Not into Constantine, but into the JC.
I'm sorry, that was really funny.
So she converts to Christianity on that trip. And okay. She's actually considered the first ruler to adopt Christianity in Russia.
Oh, interesting.
And she starts this conversion effort. Doesn't really work. They don't really convert until, I think it's a Vladimir at some point down the road.
Usually, yeah.
I really feel confident of Vladimir, but I don't remember. But it wasn't until later.
I'm sorry, Maisie just had the cutest stretch. I love you, Maisie.
Years later is when Russia converts and adopts the Eastern Orthodox religion. But that's what she literally becomes a saint for just becoming a Christian.
Just for converting.
Yes. And initiating Christianity in Russia. So she didn't...
That makes more sense. But she's murder,
but
slaughter.
She converted and changed her ways. She literally had
Did
the title.
Did she change her ways?
Her title was Sapostolos, which means equal to the apostles from the Catholic Church. She tried to get her son to convert. He wasn't about it. But...
I've got a couple questions.
Hit me with your best shot, because that's Olga for you. She just becomes a saint after this murderous rampage.
I don't know that I can articulate my questions.
I think you can.
There's just a whole basically what's happening in my mind right now is just there's a black hole and there's a nebulous how.
Yeah.
And why.
And I also cannot answer.
That's what I mean. I knew you wouldn't. Yeah, you can't answer
that. I can't. Because it blows my freaking mind.
Did she actually change her ways, or did she just convert to Christianity and was like, hey guys, let's all convert to Christianity?
From what I know, yes. But at the same time, when you've already wiped out everybody who did you wrong, like, it's kind of like easy, I guess, at that point to like change your ways. Like,
to just not murder anymore.
She wasn't just like a serial killer. It was like genuinely a very targeted vengeance, like, murder plan that was like...
Vengeance meets like tactical.
Correct. So yeah. It's kind of like once they're out of the way, she's like, I don't need to, I'm not like murdering people for fun.
So now that she's like, I don't need to murder anymore.
There's no one I need to murder, so we're fine.
So saint in the Catholic Church, and what was the other one?
Eastern Orthodox.
Like, yeah, why not?
Why not? So this, honestly, Olga is one of the, she was someone that was brought up to me when I was abroad in my Vikings class, and
when I was abroad.
No. I'm telling you, when they told me this story, I thought it was like a joke.
Yeah.
And then the professor or whatever was like, no, this is real. Like, and then I
looked
it up.
Those are my favorite kinds of stories.
I wrote a paper on her. It was very like,
I'm noticing a theme here. You've done this a couple times.
Well, hey, if I've already done the research.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
To be honest.
I'm just saying maybe I should go look back at some of my college papers.
I think you should because you've already done a lot of the research.
Okay, but all of my college papers are like very meta philosophical.
Or their business, right?
Everyone's a coward and we're all fearing failure.
I certainly don't pull from the despair and hope section of our curriculum.
I always took a book or a thought that was perceived as despair, and I was like, here's why it's actually hope. But it's either that or business. It's either that or an in-depth analysis of Alibaba Group.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I remember that one. You worked on that one. I remember seeing that.
What? Oh, because I was working on it in a different class.
I remember sitting next to you in that one class. I was also doing something else
guaranteed
as well.
Guaranteed, I was on page 2, and all 20 pages were due that night.
Yeah, probably.
It was a night class.
Probably.
Oh, no, like, not probably.
Definitely.
Yes.
But, I mean, all I'm saying is, being a history major, this is what I did. I just found random things in history to write papers about.
Another reason I shouldn't have gotten a business degree.
So... I mean, I might as well. I mean, part of why I wrote all these papers was because I picked random things.
Because you knew. No.
Well, no, I actually
knew that in the future.
Because I had an inkling that I would be on a podcast one day doing deep dives.
Yeah.
No, I genuinely picked things that weren't textbook paper topics.
No, I don't want to hear any other narrative than that you had a premonition.
Yes, I had a premonition.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
But yeah, all that to say, Olga's freaking hilarious. And then I actually, another podcast I listened to, like, I think it's like Weird History or Stuff They Didn't Tell You in History Class. They did an episode on this like a while back. And I had written it down in my notes of episode topics, and it just felt like the right time to do this one.
Yeah, this is a good one.
But yeah, so Olga's pretty clutch. I just love how she literally continued to manipulate Prince Mao and be like, no, I'm totally marrying you. Just don't ask questions as to why you're slowly losing people in your population.
This is the exact epitome of gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss.
Olga, we need to add it to your thing. Gaslight, gatekeep,
can you reach it? Can you reach
girl
it?
Boss, Olga.
This is my like work inspiration that I keep on my desk. Oh, whoa, shoot.
It's okay, I'm holding it.
I got it. We're just gonna put it right here.
Yeah. Holy mother of gosh, that was so loud.
Sorry. Oh. I broke it.
What?
I think I broke it.
You really did. You really broke it. She broke it.
Oh, no!
Let's just put this back.
She, like, actually broke the living out of us.
I did you do? It keeps breaking.
I like Hulk ripped it.
Dude, Hulk freaking smash. All right.
How did that happen?
So now with that,
I gaslight keep girl busted.
That's one way to put that. So anyways, yeah. Olga, with a score of 4-0.
I Olga'd it.
Kicks butt. Yeah, you Olga'd it.
I Olga'd that.
That's going to become definitely a new expression.
Whiteboard that my mom got me.
You Olga'd it. Sorry, Mom.
She got me some, like, decor and stuff. That I just ripped that thing in half.
Did you say decor?
Yeah.
What do I say? Decor, decor, decor.
I may have said decor.
Decor. I say decor.
Both are correct.
I just feel like...
I say both.
Decor so threw me off.
Decor? Not decor. Decor or decor?
I don't even know what I say anymore.
I say both, but like I also say either and either. And I say data and data.
All I'm saying is recording at night, you get the punchiest sides of us, and I hope you love it as much as we do. So moral of the story is if you ever have to enact vengeance... just do it, then convert, and then you'll become Sapostolos.
All your sins will be forgiven, because and you can be a saint.
That's how that works, I guess.
Churches.
I don't know.
Oh.
But yeah, so that is the story of Saint Thank Olga you. In a very condensed way.
Thanks.
Anytime. So Raquel?
Yeah? I wonder what's coming next.
Do you have anything fun to tell us to close? Or should we just
No.
Close?
I don't.
You just want to close?
Yeah.
Well, then I guess we should tell you where to follow us. That's what comes next, right?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Instagram and TikTok.
Hyperfocus pod.
Twitter.
Hyperfocus_pod.
Facebook and YouTube.
Hyperfocus:a podcast for chaotic minds.
Chaotic minds.
I almost said creative minds, which is also applicable, but not the correct title.
You can just go to a Michaels for that.
And
our Gmail.
Hyperfocuscast@gmail.com.
If you're looking out for a sticker from us because you did the review in July, just know it'll probably take 6 months because of who I am as a person. But you will get it eventually. I have a list.
We've written some letters.
I've written two, and Maddie has not signed them yet, and I have not addressed
them. I didn't know I needed to sign them.
Well, yeah, because that's just who I am as a person. That's what I'm saying. It's going to take a little while, but you'll get them.
We'll do that tonight, maybe. We'll start
doing
it. Absolutely not. Okay, well, never mind.
No.
So,
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, as always.
My dog woke me up at 6 a.m. I'm going to bed.
As always, send us ideas for episodes. You're getting a feel for my niche. If you have anything fun in Russian history, I'd love to learn about
yeah.
it. But also
cash.
Help expand my horizons.
Weird facts.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to block out the fact that Rachel just asked for money again.
Imagine what's going to happen when we start doing when we start reading ads.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like absolutely just like bow to corporations, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
She is going to simp for those ad deals.
Jeffrey Bezos, I'll say whatever you want if you give me $1,000 to read it.
That's it.
To read the script.
Our only demands are that you give us an unreasonable amount of money.
But $1,000 is not an unreasonable
amount. No, I guess you're right.
You're
right.
We need at least quintuple digits.
Correct.
Though, actually, now that I think about it.
$1 million an ad.
That's more than quintuple digits.
That is how much we, that's our starting rate for an ad on our show.
So how much?
$1 million.
Yeah. We're worth it. Well, I'm worth it.
Isn't that like a, what's that? She's worth it. Isn't that like an Ulta ad or something?
I don't know. It went through my head too.
Okay, that's great. So it's there.
I have no idea.
So like I said, we're gonna sign off now. Rachel's gonna go play with her puppy. I'm gonna get on to some edits. And we will see you next week when Rachel takes the lead. And
Rachel doesn't have anything prepped yet, so.
Good thing we have time to record.
Send me ideas, please. We got such a nice email today.
Tell me later.
Okay, it was just really sweet. It wasn't a review or anything. They didn't ask for anything in return. It was just a really nice email about how much they love us.
You made me really happy.
I'm glad.
Yeah. We love our listeners.
We love you.
But that could change at any moment.
Would you just say stay chaotic, babes?
I honestly forgot about that part.
I could tell, because I had been setting you up like seven times.
I didn't know why we were still recording.
I'm like still feeding her. I'm like, and we're going to sign off.
Bro, my intelligence gets like cut in half.
Pausing.
It's just pew, 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 and everything's going over my head right now.
All right, so we're going to try one more time.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week.
Stay chaotic, babes. But not as chaotic
as Olga.
As Rachel on no sleep with no Vyvanse.
Or Olga.
And no sense of time and an obsession with a dog. Not that chaotic. What was that? Bye.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.